Hey friends, I'm Naomi, and I'm glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives bring their ideas to life. I believe we each have our own brilliance to share with the world, and when we lean into that, we have opportunities to live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. Today, I am talking to Charlie, and I'm so excited about our conversation. We got to have another one a while back, and always good to connect with people that are like on similar paths or similar mindsets, similar visions and missions to help others live into their purpose and all that stuff. So welcome, Charlie.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks. And can you just let us know where you're at and a little bit about what you do?
Sure. I am a transformational coach for fempreneurs. I help them ditch the worthiness hustle. And I believe that by helping women own their wild and claim their femme, that they can step into their calling and build their legacy through working to reframe belief blocks, embrace their divine feminine power, and unearth their voice to more authentically reach their audience.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, basically, I help women grow their business by focusing on themselves first. And I find that as fempreneurs in particular, we tend to exude our business as ourselves. And if we haven't done some of the work on ourselves, for example, knowing what our core values are. And I don't mean intrinsically, because most of us do. Most of us kind of know what we stand for and believe in. But are they written down somewhere? And are they connected to your business in some way? Have you said, no, not those from my personal slots, but these, yes, and all of that kind of stuff, right? So That's a lot of the work we do, as well as working with the, what I call inner supervillain.
Ooh, what's that?
Insert scary music here. Dun, yeah. Dun, dun. So the inner supervillain for me is, well, first, let me say this. I'm a former English teacher. And so I love a good analogy. And that's what really helps me make forward progress. And in recovering from two abusive marriages, I really needed something that I wasn't finding in all those self-help books. And so I sort of, in listening to a variety of the greats, as most of us know them from the self-help genre, I had this epiphany. I realized, oh, holy cow, wait a minute. It's all my subconscious. And hold on. She isn't me. She's her. She's over there. She's not here. And I realized that thinking of my subconscious in that way was so powerful. It allowed me to make this huge shift just mentally in terms of dealing with that voice in my head that kept wanting to criticize and tell me, you know, all of my mistakes and stumbles and all of that stuff. So I really started to lean in on that. And at first I called it like the monster under the bed. that worked for a while. And it wasn't powerful enough, because that's too, you know, sort of vacant. It's like, what, a shadow or something, right?
Yeah.
And then I got this image of like a true character, something like Poison Ivy or Catwoman. And I started thinking about, you know how we kind of love them and we kind of want to give them a hug, you know, and say like, it's going to be okay. If you could just switch how you're thinking about yourself, or if you could just, you know, like we want to do that with those characters. And I realized, yes, that's it. That's my subconscious. Cause I want to hug her, but I also kind of want to like punch her in the arm and tell her, stop that.
Yeah. That's powerful work when you like keep digging deeper into what it is that is getting in the way, or, you know, like stopping you from taking action or like showing up how you want to. And so mm-hmm. I like that you kept, okay, maybe not under the bed is quite right. What else is under there? And what can you attribute to, you know, like yeah. there's that tension, like you were saying, you want to hug her and also punch her. And I think, I think that's where we live in this human experience is both. And yeah. how do we move from both? And how do we maybe not sit in the, you know, where we want to punch her because she's speaking all these things in our mind and get to the place of more loving care so that we can move from that place, you know,
exactly.
and move forward. So yeah, continue to yeah. work that way.
Yeah. Well, I think when it comes to, you know, I've named mine, her name is Lucy. Mm-hmm. And the thing with Lucy is, you know, she totally means well, and she does a lot of really important, really good work for me day in and day out. And out and about, or in my feed, I'll see things like, you know, conquer your subconscious. And I think, mm-hmm. no, don't conquer it. I mean, it's still you, mm-hmm. technically.
Yeah.
So, you know, the punching in the arm thing, you know, you don't want to spend too much time trying to wrestle, conquer, force, stomp out, etc. I just heard somebody say it again just the other day. And I was like, no, don't use that language. Mm-hmm. Because it really is about learning to love and honor and accept where she's coming from. And mm-hmm. I like thinking of her as a she, and she's over there, you know, and in fact, so much so that one of the first things I did when I was going through this journey myself was I was trying to answer that question of, you know, how did a strong, beautiful woman like myself, who at the time was in her late 40s, you know, find herself homeless, bankrupt, abused by two men back to back for a total of about 15 years. And like, how did that even happen? Because if you saw me in my classroom with my students, and I taught high school for many years, you wouldn't believe that was the same woman. And so I actually had women ask me, you know, it still shocks me that we ask each other this question, but women actually asked me, how did a woman like you end up in a relationship like that? I don't understand. And I would just shrug and go, I don't know. And then it became a joke where I would respond, you know, honestly, I don't know, but when I find out, I'll let you know because I'm writing a book about it.
Yeah.
And then this journey sort of led me to begin to answer that question. And so as I was working with Lucy all of that time, and things would, you know, pop into my mind that were, you know, clearly coming from old stories and stuff in the trunk and proverbial closet, right, or what have you, I started to notice it more. Mm-hmm. And so much so that it became a game. I thought, okay, I'm going to create myself this like cool little workbook planner thing, because I'm a nerd like that. I like to make, you know, that kind of stuff. I went to blurb.com and published it and ordered it for myself and wrote in it every day. And so I started writing the number down of how many times a day could I catch Lucy. And the number got kind of crazy. You know, I remember writing down like 37, and I was like, holy cow, 37. And that's how many I caught. So just imagine how many there are if I'm only catching 37, you know? Mm-hmm. And that in itself was such a powerful experience for me, just recognizing the reality of what was happening, you know, holy cow. My subconscious is talking to me this often, this negatively, and up until now, I never even noticed. It was just autopilot, right?
Right.
And so now I was catching it often. And then I came up with this idea, which I'm happy to share. This is a really good technique. Mm-hmm. And I've had all of my clients love it. And I've had, you know, friends, and you know, I'll tell anybody who'll listen to about this, because it's so powerful. But my little trick, and I still do this every Sunday at 3:00, I have like a little therapy session with Lucy. You know, like I welcome her into the space and I say, welcome. I know I've put you off all week. So here's your time. And I have a pen in my hand and my journal in my hand. And I say, go. And I let Lucy loose. And she writes all over the page for 30 seconds. And then I stop her because otherwise it could get dark.
Right. Yeah.
So I just let her go for 30 seconds. And it's that process has been really amazing for me. I've been doing this now for, you know, many years. Seven or eight years now. And it's there's two things that are really amazing to me about it. One is that a lot of the messaging or a lot of what she has to say doesn't change. And I find that really interesting that, you know, I've done all this work for all this time, but there are certain core stories that always kind of bubble to the surface, you know, in certain times when I'm broke is a good one, you know, when my bank account is not where I would like it, you know, certain things just percolate to the surface, right? And end up in Lucy's little stories. And, but now I've got these powerful techniques that I've, you know, accumulated over the years in terms of how I talk to her about those things and how I respond and the work that I do on mindset and all that good stuff. Right. But I find that dealing with her with as much compassion as possible has really changed my whole life, really.
Yeah. That's huge because it is like, I feel the world is lacking empathy, right? Understanding there's a reason why we act the way we do. And so like looking back into that, and we can offer like empathy to other people, I think more so than we offer ourselves a lot of time. I know the people I work with too are really hard on themselves. I know I'm hard on myself. And so it's just like, I'm always having to like remind myself, be kind, like you would to anybody else you're encouraging and supporting on their journey. I deserve the same from myself. And this is the most important relationship. So why am I so mean to myself? But then, like you said, like give that space too, knowing that it's not true. But it is there, you know, and sometimes it's there to protect us. Sometimes it's there to support us and not putting like positive or negative on it. It just is, I think can be helpful. And so I like that you have those consistent practices to help you through that.
Yeah. And I noticed that, you know, sometimes it'll be situation specific, right? Where something will occur and trying to think of, oh, I have a good one. I had a, it was kind of my first internet bully that I've ever really had. Well, I guess that's not true. I had one before, way back when I had a food truck for a while. And at that time I had 5,000 followers on Facebook and people were bullish there, but I don't know, for whatever reason, it just rolled right off my back. But when it comes to probably because I wasn't as passionate about that business, I was really just doing it with someone else. And I love food, don't get me wrong, but this business is me, if that makes sense. And so I think when this happened, so this person made a comment on, and I never ever on TikTok, but I did this TikTok randomly and I was tired. It was, you know, I was in the middle of these migraines that I could not get rid of. And it was, I was many days into having this migraine. And I'm sure my quote unquote micro expressions were not, you know, 100 or whatever, but that's what the comment was about. And they said that I was not motivating at all. And there was nothing attractive about me and that my micro expressions said all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. You know, they were just basically pooing all over me. Right.
Yeah.
And the first reaction I had was just to start crying. I just was so upset. And I realized in that moment, and because this is a practice that I do where I call it drowning, where I'll as soon as I catch that I'm having like a deep emotional experience that isn't positive, I'll be like, and I'll sort of like imagine myself floating above myself like a drone would and kind of viewing the scene. And I try to use the words, isn't that interesting? So that I can kind of emotionally detach and examine, wait, what is this? What's happening right now? And that almost always helps me go, oh, this isn't me. This is them. This is not my stuff. This isn't even my stuff. Why am I upset? You know, but I realized that in doing that, that I hadn't really had that experience before and that I was really connected to my business. And the reason that I immediately started to cry was because it felt very unfair. You know, I felt attacked and I knew that there was no good reason for it. And, mm-hmm. you know, there was such an injustice. And I realized, yeah, that's always what is a big trigger for me is any kind of injustice. Cause you know, I was in two abusive marriages. So that mm-hmm. of course is going to be a trigger for me. And so just by taking that moment to kind of view it from above and think it through, I realized, oh, none of this is even real. This is just triggering old crap that I've already kind of dealt with. So never mind. Yeah. And then I just kind of went through the rest of my day.
Yeah.
But you know, I wouldn't have had that skill before. I would have been deeply emotionally upset. I would have retold the story to anyone who would listen. I would have, you know, magnified it and turned it into, you know, a victimization and probably carried it around with myself for a little while, you know? So it's really interesting now to look back at just a simple tool, you know, like mm-hmm. that can make such a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, you accumulate these as you, you know, continue to journey on. And have you ever found tools that you're like, just doesn't fit, you know, oh, yeah. like trying stuff. And so I don't know, like, how do you continue?
Affirmations. They don't really work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I love that they work for other people. Mm-hmm. I have a list of them that I give to my clients. And I've had clients come back and say, yeah, that's really working for me. I'm like, great. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work for me. You know, I have a couple things. I don't use them as affirmations. I call them power cards instead. Mm-hmm. And I'll put statements and things like that. Like I'm just peeking over here. I have something that says desire and expansion versus consideration and compromise, for example. Mm. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and that just reminds me, oh, that's right. If I'm spending too much time considering or compromising, something is amiss, you know, as opposed to an affirmation, a positive statement that I repeat over and over to myself. Right. Mm-hmm. So keeping things like that all around my house is what sort of keeps me focused. And then I have kind of a rule where I have to change them out every so often. Otherwise they just become quote unquote part of the furniture, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then I forget they're there and I just walk past. But, and I have another favorite. It's the word inevitable. Mm. And for me, there's all this meaning attached to it. No one else would know what that means, but my mission is to serve 1 million women. And so, inevitable is my word that's attached to that calling of mine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I feel called to serve 1 million women and I'm going to do it. I have no idea how. It's inevitable though.
Right. Yeah. That's powerful.
Thank you.
So, I mean, because that's a big, bold statement, right?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so how do you get to the point of feeling confident in yourself in that, but then also speaking it out loud? Mm. Like, what has that looked like? To share that message.
Yeah. Well, to come back to that, I have to go back a little bit and talk a little woo. Is that all right?
That's fine. Yep. All good.
So I have always been pretty spiritual. I was very church going, multiple different, I'll call them phases of my life, or seasons, if you will. Mm-hmm. Where I was, you know, went through that and all that jazz, but always sort of percolating underneath was this other level of spirituality. I remember when I was a kid, I used to talk to invisible people and, you know, walking down the street, oh, hey, so how's it going? And da, 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 da. And I would have full conversations back and forth. Who was that? I don't know. I don't recall. I wish I did. And then when I was, I don't know, probably right after my divorce, I started really picking up, like, just ghosties is how I've always said it. Ghosties in my house. Uh-huh. You know, things moving or seeing like a shadow for a second and then it's not there. Feeling a very distinct presence nearby, but not seeing anything, that sort of thing. And then my daughter lived with me and she started to have experiences like that. And one night she came running into my room and said, Mom, I heard breathing in my ear. It's freaking me out. And I said, tell him to stop it. Tell him that it doesn't feel nice. And I was like super calm and I responded. Yeah. And she was like, okay. You know, at first she didn't know how to, I was just so calm. Mm-hmm. She thought I would go, what? Oh my gosh. You know? And so she did and it stopped. There you go. And we lived in this one little house for a while, that definitely was populated by two ghosts for sure. Two spirits, if you will. Mm-hmm. One was a man and one was a woman. That much we knew. We could actually, there were times we would walk into the bathroom and smell very clearly men's cologne. And there wasn't any in the house. So mm-hmm. we knew it wasn't us. Yeah. You know, just stuff like that. We had a book move one time. We actually saw a shadow, something move from one side to the other in the kitchen, a couple things like that. And then I had another experience where, I can't even explain the experience really because but I can tell you that some sort of shadowy something like walked from down there right up to me. And it was just sort of shadowy, see-through-y something. Uh-huh. It was more about how it felt. Like I could literally feel the energy going like up on me. And I was like, whoa, hey, whoa. Yeah. And even then, all of those experiences, I found a way to sort of dismiss them and say like, those are just, I don't know, you know, it could have been this, or maybe it was that, or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then I had an appointment with Ellie, who is my spiritual coach, and she's incredible. So she's a psychic medium and she named names and, I'm trying to shorten the story here. And yeah. Then at one point, I had spoken to my aunt who had passed away several years ago now, and she had showed up in a couple of sessions already. And I said to her, you know, hey, I'm really concerned about my logo. Like, I know that's silly, but I'm trying to decide, like, do I make this effort to go ahead and do all this rebranding? And my logo has shoes in it, right? And these really beautiful leopard shoes. And they're significant to me. I own a pair. There's a whole story. But anyway, so I told her I was concerned and I just wasn't sure. And I would just be so happy if tomorrow in the session, she could just, I don't know, mention shoes or something if I'm on the right track. And if I'm mm-hmm. not, then, you know, I don't know. Nothing, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
And that was so silly, really. But so the next day I'm in the session with Ellie and we're talking and she says, yeah, your auntie's here. And we're chatting back and forth. And I had sort of told her that I had asked Auntie to mention something specific if I was, you know, on the right track or what have you. Mm-hmm. So Ellie says, no, honey, she's not telling me anything special. No, but hold on a second. Why is she showing me her shoes? And that was it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a long backstory, but uh-huh. all that being said, that changed my life because once and for all, I understood and realized for me anyway, that all of those experiences, all that stuff is true for me. And that when I die, chances are I'm going somewhere else where I'm aware of my daughter or my brother or what have you. And I don't know, for whatever reason, that changed everything for me. And it really, moving forward, has helped me be more brave and more fearless. And when it comes to confidence, yeah, in fact, I have a whole course called Crash Course in Confidence, and it involves many steps. You know, we start with the programming and move our way forward. But all that being said, I think what makes me feel most confident is knowing that it doesn't matter, you know, when it comes down to it, I'm probably going to come back again and have another go. I won't remember. Mm-hmm. But why not take all the risks? Why not go all in? Why not play big? Mm-hmm. What is it that I really have to lose? You know? And I think that for me, that spiritual connection to those concepts of, you know, there's so much more. There's so much more that I have no idea what that is, and I'm cool with that. And so why not go all in right here, right now, while I can, you know?
Yeah. No, that's powerful, because I feel like that's kind of where I'm at too. Like, what do I have to lose at this point to like nothing, right? I feel like everything to gain from continuing to take bold, brave steps, holding the outcomes loosely, but having that vision too, to keep working towards and moving towards and stuff like that. And so I think showing up confidently allows other people to do the same, right? Because I feel like we always have a message on our heart or something that we want to bring to the world. And as I work with creatives, and you know, we have those pictures in our head of what beauty we want to bring out. And so, having that confidence to just go for it, it does take some time and take some effort, but it's such a beautiful thing to witness when it's just like you release all the expectations that maybe you have of yourself as well as other people, right? Because you don't care anymore. Like you said, it's like whatever, you know. And then those comments, like you said too, they might sting a bit, but then you have the skills to be like, nope, not about me, that's all on them. I know where I'm standing. I know the vision I have for my life, because I'm standing on my values that I've already established, my purpose, and all those steps to get you to where you want to be. So that's really beautiful.
Well, I noticed that, you know, people who bully like that, you know, hatred really comes from fear. And that's what I try to remind myself of. I just responded to a gal who posted, she actually posted a picture of what this person had said to her. And I guess she, in the photo, was wearing a crown of some kind. I couldn't quite see what kind of crown it was, but she was like being a queen or what have you, you know, yay for her. And instead of, you know, responding and good for you or not responding at all, this person decided to tell her that she looked ridiculous and blah, 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 and just be super insulting. And I was a bit taken aback that someone like, why do you need to say that? What do you get out of that? And then I remembered, oh, right, that they must be really afraid of her, you know? And I think she's a psychic medium. And so, you know, people who swim in those waters scare people, you know? And I get it. I get that, because it doesn't make everybody comfy, you know? It's a whole strange world. It really is. You know, seeing a shadow person walking up to me in my bedroom freaked me out. It did. You know, but that's just one of the things I just try to remind myself of. If, you know, if somebody isn't vibing with me, it's fine. It's perfectly fine, because somebody else will. And I just have to, you know, keep showing up as me, so that that other person who will see me. And they'll go, oh, wait, she's my people.
And 1 million of them to connect.
1 million.
And
I know they're out there. And I think one thing I'd like to add too, if you don't mind, is when I, I'm confident. I'm confident that in my attempt to serve 1 million women, magical things are going to happen. it doesn't even really matter to me if I actually, if I come up really short, I'm okay with that too.
Right.
Because it's the journey to get there that is really the exciting thing to me. And also, when I first thought 1 million women, it literally kind of dropped out of the sky and popped into my head. That's how it felt.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I was kind of like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Did I really just think that? That's insane. Wait, what? You know? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of sat with it for a minute and I thought, yeah, why not? Who says I can't?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, okay, that's really, really scary. And I think that that's an important thing to note is, you know, charging ahead and being confident doesn't mean you're not terrified.
Right.
Because it's terrifying. You know, the idea of attempting to serve 1 million women is really scary, but owning it has also been the most powerful experience of my life. So, you know, I'm going to die trying. I don't care.
Right. Yeah. And it seems like it would just be liberating too, to just continue to try things, to continue to be curious, like, well, if I did this, then what would happen? And so you're like living more in this creative flow of, you know, not seeing anything as failure, but just information to continue to play and to experience things. And I think that's a fun place to be instead of holding it so tightly, like, oh, I got to get this right. I got to, you know, nail this and stuff like that, instead of just letting the creative flow.
I think that that's maybe why having, you know, something that my coach said to me so long ago now was, don't be afraid of an impossible goal. You know, seize it, take it, charge after it.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the time, I don't think that quite resonated with me the way that it does now, you know. And when I think of it, is an impossible goal, but I think that's what makes the magic. That's what allows me to play and to say, why not? Let's try that. Let's see what happens, you know, because it seems so much bigger than me that I can't really get mired down in the, like, no, it has to happen in this way or that way, because it's too big to do that with, you know what I mean? So yeah, I agree with you. I think that space of play, is just so much more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I feel like as I've started my business and been in these spaces, like listening to other people, I feel like, oh, I have to do it this way to make it this. And what I'm learning is like, no, like I can take what they're teaching. I can try it on and see what fits.
Yeah.
And a lot of it won't. And so that gives me the freedom to try it and do it my way. I get to take the different tools that work for me and build it as I want to build it. And then I think that helps because I don't feel like I have to be a cookie cutter version of somebody else. I can just stand firmly in who I am and the individual that I, you know, want to be. Because then that also gets rid of the comparison that I think a lot of women can get caught in. And I know I still do too. It's like, why am I not doing it that way? Why doesn't that work for me? But then it's like taking a step back. It's like, that's not for me, you know, and allowing what is, which is really hard some seasons when it's not going as planned.
It really is. Well, and I think too, sometimes, and I'm going to use this terminology intentionally. Sometimes we birth an idea and we feel like, oh yes, this is my baby, you know, and we hold on to it and we love it and, you know, hold it. And we think, okay, this is the magic. And then we put it out there and crickets, no one responds. And that can hurt. It can be a painful experience, you know? And I've certainly been there multiple times now. I've been at this, I just realized the other day, it's 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And the dial just whoop, popped over 6 years. And sure, there's parts of me that look at some of these gals who are like, seemingly, who knows how long they've really been at it, but it seems like right. they literally just started. They're 20 plus years younger than me. And they're like, hi, oh my gosh, I totally just did $100,000. Yay for me. Yes. And I'm like, yeah, yay for you. Scroll, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard not to feel that way sometimes, but, cause you know, but I think remembering first of all, that that's social media.
Yep.
And maybe not reality. And if it is, good for her.
Right.
Truly. Because mm-hmm. that's where she's supposed to be right now. And I'm supposed to be here, you know, right. playing.
Yeah.
With the idea of a million women. And and you know, I do well, I do, but you know, I think exponential growth is what I'm looking for now. Mm-hmm. And I went through this phase earlier this year that was pretty brutal, to be honest. A season. I love yeah. your language of seasons. But my dog died. And so I started the year like charging through the mighty jungle at full dynamic speed. I was like, you know, and I had all the things. And I had a couple of speaking gigs that went really well. And they had glitches, but they still ended up really well. And then I had a couple of podcast interviews that went really well, and I was pulling in business, and then my dog died, and then it was another thing, and then it was another thing, and then it was another mm-hmm. thing. And you know, they say things like come in threes. Yeah, no. How about 33? That's what it was kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
And finally I called Ellie because I don't, you know, I see her, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a year, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. But I was freaking out because it was just too much. You know, I was getting to that point where I was feeling like, I don't know how much more I can take because right. this is kind of a lot. So I called Ellie and we had a session, and in the session, Ellie did, this like type of reading that she does where she looks at the whole you, right? And she says, honey, you're blocked. I'm like, you think? But, and so that was a really interesting journey that I needed to go through. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating, and just to make a long story short, is coming out of it, and I'm still not even fully out of it yet, but coming mm-hmm. out of it, I can, you know, you can actually feel when the shift starts happening. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, boom, a million women. And then literally the next day I had, you know how folks say, oh, I just had a download. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
I guess I've had them before, but for me, it was like my business name was probably a download. I feel like maybe my grandfather whispered it in my ear or something. It almost felt that way. I was talking on the phone with my daughter and I'm like, yeah, I need to come up with a business. She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't know. And I saw this feather and all of a sudden I said to her, Wild Women International. And she went, holy cow, did you just come up with that? That's crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I don't even know. You know, uh-huh. so I've had stuff like that happen before, but this was like a whole package of stuff within a box that started like unspooling so quickly that I couldn't keep up as I was trying to write it all down. I was like, oh, and that's good. Oh yeah, that's good. Oh, you know, it was nuts. I've never really had an experience like that before. So if I hadn't have gone through all of that, is my point, I wouldn't have had that experience. I wouldn't have said a million women. I wouldn't have had that download because I wouldn't have been in that space. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Having gone through all of this crap, frankly, right. that I had been through.
Yeah.
And so I'm really grateful for it now. Go figure.
Yeah. And that's usually, yeah, what people say after the fact. And I'm still not there because I'm like, well, there's a lot of implications with this then too, like going through the hard season and, you know, feeling like you have a vision for your life and you know where you're going, and then life happens. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, oof, one more blow, one more deep thing that I have to work through. And that takes a lot of energy that we don't always give credit to. How much, like the grief of losing your dog, and I'm really sorry for that. Like,
thank you.
How much energy it takes, the grieving process, and so allowing much. Yourself to sit in that when you know you have a vision for your life and you know you have work to do is really, I think, a hard place to be. For, you know, like I feel like go-getter women like us that we want to go bring goodness to the world, and yet we have to be still for a season and just
heal.
That's
really hard.
And take the time to do that. But coming out the other end, it's like, okay, I did learn some things from that. I do feel stronger from it. I have maybe some more tools that I can offer other people that are going through it as well. So all those things.
Well, I think allowing is such a powerful word for me now. I've always understood the concept and appreciated where other folks were coming from who were talking about that on the feed and in the places and my own coach. And when I'm working with clients and all that stuff, you know, we talk about allowing because that's a very feminine concept. You know, that's a feminine energy space, this allowing thing. And I don't really come from that space. I tend to come from a more masculine energy. Always have. Always been very driven and all of that jazz. And I think part of what this journey has really taught me was that I can let that go now. And that I don't, that energy was part of the pleasing, performing, and perfecting that I spent a lifetime doing. And that now I can just release that and allow myself to enjoy being feminine. I think, and I don't mean being a woman feminine, I mean the feminine energies, right? So distinctly different. But the idea of allowing, of holding space for someone else who is in their masculine energy or what have you, and just so many other things related to that. But I think that was such an integral part of this journey for me this year, is really stepping into that. And I talked about it a lot before, but now I've really fully experienced it for myself, and now it just has so much more power for me. Not easy though.
No, definitely not. You're like, really, do I have to feel all this and go through this?
Well, the joke that I always tell is, you know, now that I understand it better too, I think, you know, I'm in my 50s. And so I have a deeper understanding, certainly, than I did in my 30s or in my 20s or even in my 40s, really, of how things are cyclic. And, you know, you do work and you'll just have this discovery and you think, yes, I'm finally beyond that stupid thing that was holding me back and la, la, la. And then, you know, some time goes by and then it's back. And you look at it and it's kind of like, I'm looking at my hand for those of y'all listening and you can't see what I'm doing there, but it's back and you're kind of looking at it going, really, really? I thought we were done. Why are you back? And then you go through whatever and you realize, oh, it is that, but from a different perspective, or from a whole different experience of that same thing. Right. So I sort of akin it to, you know, being from education, it's hard not to, to pull in those analogies, but, you know, we go to elementary school and we learn English and math and science, la, 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 right? And then we go to middle school and we learn English and math and science and la, 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 right? And then we go to high school and then we go to college. And I remember even having a conversation with my daughter when she was in high school. And I said to her, you know, you realize that you're going to do it all again, right? And she was like, wait, what? I'm not done. Hmm. No, babe, you're going to go to college and you're going to have an English class and a math class and a science class and a history class. And she was like, no. And I said, yeah, it's all going to come back again. And mm-hmm. she said, that doesn't seem right. And I said, trust me, it will when you're done. It'll still be, you know, you still won't enjoy that particular class that you're not like, for me, it's math. I don't enjoy mm-hmm. math. I said, but then, you know, you will have achieved a next level at that. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's sort of the analogy of, you know, these experiences that we think we're done and then they revisit us. And so it's sort of like, okay, now I'm in high school with that.
Right. Yeah. So it's like recognizing what those are, making it kind of your friend, like mm-hmm. as far as like, I know you're going to be with me, so I'm going to care for you. Yeah. And you might flare up sometimes. And so we'll deal with it when it does.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, coming from education, we're lifelong learners. And so we have claimed a next level, but we are not masters of it yet. I think I know I try to be that, like, I have this thing with expert, like an expert to me means that you've mastered everything, but we know that life is a lot of levels of learning, deeper mm-hmm. growth in that, more understanding.
Yeah.
And until I think the day we die, we won't have it all figured out. You know, we'll have a good grasp of it, but there's going to be new dimensions to uncover and stuff. And so how can we make friends with what is the thorn in our side kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny. Oftentimes the last words that people say as they're passing over is, Oh, wow. You know, it's like they get it, whatever mm-hmm. it is, right? There's something that as you're crossing over, you go, oh, wow, I totally get it now, mm-hmm. whatever it is,
right?
You know, and who knows, but it's probably different for everyone, whatever the it is, right?
Right.
But I'm really excited about that, that even then, even as you're leaving, you're still learning.
Yeah.
Even on the way out, you're like, oh, I get it now.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, for sure.
There's just no getting rid of it, you know?
No,
it's not gonna happen.
Yeah. And I think if we have that thought that we can, that's when we keep butting against like the wall and like, then we start to get mad. I thought I had mastered this instead of just holding it gently and being like, you are with me mm-hmm. and we're going to keep figuring this out and not for it to be the enemy. Cause then I feel like that's when we like take it on, like something's wrong with me. I haven't mastered this yet. Whereas like, there is no mastery of that. I don't think. Yeah.
And I think when we try to push something away, we, you know, maximize it, which is the opposite of what we'd like to be happening, you know?
Yeah.
So I like your terminology there of just sort of gently holding it and saying, okay, here we are. Mm-hmm. Here we are together again.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like your drone thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Look, oh, here we go.
Isn't this interesting? Yeah. Yeah. Wayne Dyer had a good one that I always liked. He akined us to being a trolley car, and I've never liked thinking of myself as an inanimate object, but this analogy worked pretty well for me, generally speaking. So, you know, you're a trolley car, ding, ding, you know, picture the San Francisco streets or whatever. And you're cruising around and people get on and they hang out for a while and then they get off and then ding, ding, you come around and then, oh, what are you doing back here again? They've gotten back on for a little while, you know, and then they get off and, you know, experiences and relationships and life really do work that way, you know, mm-hmm. where you think you won't see that person or that experience again, and then it's back.
Yeah. Oh, dang it. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Oh, that's all good stuff. So I'm curious, like, what what are the next steps that you're kind of, you know, walking these days, and the vision that you have of reaching 1 million women? Like, yeah. What does that look like in action?
Well, it's funny because when I had this 1 million women, I thought, okay, I'm going to own it. I'm going forth. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea. And then I had this download, and that's actually what I'm working on right now. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that we will be ready to launch Wild Fempreneur on the first of the year. And it'll probably be live before that, but fully launched then. And in a nutshell, really briefly, it's going to be a network off social media, and it's on Circle, actually. And there will be a slew of, I want to say how many, but we're still working that out. Initially, I was thinking 26, but we'll see. So imagine being a regular member and you come in and you're trying to make your way as a business owner, as a fempreneur, and you have questions, right? And well, what are you guys doing? And 26 mentors answer your question, mm-hmm. or have the potential to answer your question, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe for 23 or 24 of them, that's not their expertise, but two of them are. And because there are a bunch of these mentors who are available, who all have different influences and experiences, mm-hmm. and expertise, you know, there really isn't a question you can ask that doesn't get answered, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, say one coach's space that you're in. Great. But you're only able to receive, you know, one person's knowledge in that space. And sure, various other members will have their two cents to add as well. But how cool to have vetted, you know, seasoned fempreneurs to answer some of these questions about all the things, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And in a spirit of play, in a space where you're free to, you know, not have to think of any one way as being the way.
Yeah.
and where it feels like, oh, that sounds fun. Maybe I'll try that for a while and see how it goes. And then I'll come back and tell y'all, you know, mm-hmm. So a big giant playground. And that's basically what Wild Fempreneur is going to be. And I'm hoping that's how we'll get to serve as close to 1 million women as I can get.
Yeah. And beyond. Yeah,
yeah.
That's awesome. So where can people connect with that vision and you and the work that you do with coaching, yeah. and all that?
Well, you can find me at wildwomaninternational.com. Mm-hmm. And I am also on Facebook. You can find Wild Woman International on Facebook and Wild Woman International on Instagram, and wildfempreneur.com. The spelling is a little odd, so hopefully in the show notes, you'll get it there, because we spell it out fem, F-E-M-M-E, instead of the traditional, you know, wild fempreneur spelling. But mm-hmm. yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate you sharing all that with me and the listeners. And I know there's a lot of nuggets of gold that people will take and, you know, try it on for themselves and find some support with that. So I really appreciate you sharing all that. And
well, thank you for having me. It's been so much fun to chat with you again.
I can't thank you enough for listening to these podcast episodes and supporting the work that I'm doing here. If you can think of anybody that could benefit from the conversation I just had, please go ahead and forward that to them. If you are on Apple Podcasts, a review would be much appreciated, or a follow on Spotify is how I can continue to get the word out about the work that I'm doing here. If you would like more support and encouragement throughout your week, you can find me on Instagram at A Creative Purpose. And I would also like to drop into your email box with some more insights and encouragement throughout your weeks. And you can do that at naomigeidel.com. Until next time, go serve the world as only you can.